We have a great guest speaker. It's not really a guest anymore, to be honest. You're here all the time. It's great. It's great. A friend of Hillside. For those of you that have never heard Pastor Russell speak, I don't know where you've been, but you haven't been in here for very long. An anointed speaker, I think, are we talking since the 70s or something like that? Oh, your 70s were great. England had just won the World Cup and things like that, you know. I look back on that fondly, even though I wasn't alive. Oh, digging a hole, digging a right old hole. He's a great speaker. He's anointed. The Holy Spirit is going to move in a very powerful way. Why don't we make him welcome, Pastor Russell Sage.
Good morning. How are you? Good? Well, I have a message for you this morning. And come what may, I'm going to bring it. Hallelujah. And then we're just going to make an impartation and see what God does. Amen. And I've just been in Europe. I was first in the Middle East and had a lot of meetings there, which was great. And then I went to Slovakia. And I've never been to Slovakia, ex-communist country, as you know. Still climbing out of the depletion area economically. And we had some wonderful creative, pardon me, miracles. So who knows what God can do this morning? If you listen carefully to the word and receive it, you know, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So what we do is we receive, we take, and your faith takes. The only thing that you can trade with is your faith. What moves heaven is your faith. That's what, only thing that moves heaven. What moves heaven is your faith. And God wants that this morning. And you need to understand. And so I really want you to listen carefully. But in Slovakia, a lady came to me on the last day. She said, Pastor, I'm totally deaf in the right ear. And I'm partially deaf in the left ear. And she said, I was born without an eardrum. Well, in 30 seconds, that woman had a brand new eardrum. And I can tell you, honestly, God wants to do some creative miracles in this city. He wants to do it in this church. Yeah, it's pretty lousy. I don't think God wants to do anything here. No, I think he wants to do a lot of things here. Amen. Now, what he's looking for, he's looking for you. And anyway, then straight after Slovakia, I'm going to be drinking a lot of water. I've had this tickle in my throat. So excuse me, but straight after Slovakia, they drove us into Poland. And they went. We were taken straight to Auschwitz, which is the Nazi death camp. And I walked through there for a whole day. It was horrendous and devastating, but I needed to see it. And the next day, they took us to another Nazi death camp called Birkenau. And I don't want to go into those things because they're pretty horrendous to talk about, but it was well worth seeing. What man can do to man. Please excuse me. And then straight after that, into Germany for 5 days and had a lot of meetings there, and we'll be going back again in January. So I want you to open up your Bible. I want you to really receive this morning. I want you to take it. And then we'll just see what God wants to do after. I believe he wants to do something very specific. And so it says in Joel chapter 2, and I love this because in a prophetic understanding and in the whole essence of the prophetic flowed like a stream of running water while I was away. And I want you to know that's what's happening now. And here it says in verse 23 of Joel chapter 2, he said, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down to you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Then he says, and the floors will be full of wheat, and the vats will overflow with wine and oil. Now he's talking about the anointing. And he says, and I will restore, and I love this scripture, and I will restore to you What the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent amongst you, I will restore what's been robbed from you. I will restore what the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar have eaten. What they have robbed, what they have stolen, and what they've taken from you, either violently or surreptitiously, or in any shape, form, or manner, I'll restore to you what you lost. And then he went on to say, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. And he has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Thank God for that. My people will never be ashamed. And you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed again. He mentions it twice. And then he says this, and it'll come to pass in the last day. When are we living in that last day? We have entered into that last day right now. And it's a strong prophetic word for the church right throughout the world. I want you to know this. This morning, he wants you to understand and know that it'll come to pass afterwards. The afterwards is the whole prophetic signs. Jesus says, when you see these signs, I am at the door. The Lord Jesus is at the door of the church right now. Many places are languishing in history, tradition, and the old society of the old culture. I want you to know God wants to wake the church up. He wants to wake it up. He wants to grab hold of it and he wants to shake it out of its old traditions. Jesus said the traditions of men, the traditions of old will kill you. What we need to understand is there is a shaking that's coming. And it's not going to be a shaking except in the world. It'll happen in the world, but the shaking's going to happen in the church even more. God wants to shake the church. He wants to shake it out of its lethargy. Wants to shake it out of its traditions, out of its lukewarmness, out of its apathy. Wants to shake it. And he gives a promise here, and it'll come to pass afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, when that says sons and daughters, it didn't mean young. It meant middle-aged. It meant old. It meant whoever. Fat, skinny, bald, hairy. It didn't make good-looking, bad-looking. Doesn't make any difference. He said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. You understand this. All flesh means all flesh. Doesn't matter where you are. All flesh. And you will see something take place. There, here is a promise. I will pour out my spirit. That's a purpose of God. That's a definite answer. That is a definite reason. That's a definite purpose of God. I will. When he said this, I will pour out my spirit. You know, he taught the disciples to pray, and he said this. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. On this earth, as it already exists in heaven. What's in heaven doesn't belong there, it belongs here. And the only way that we can do it, the only way that we can bring it, is by our prayers and by our intercession, by our hunger, by our thirst. I want you to know this. At my age, I'm still hungry and I'm still thirsty and I'm still ready to go. God has given me vitality and health and wholeness. Why? Because I spoke it. I spoke it. I declared it to be so. I walked in the understanding of it. I didn't work at being righteous. I already am righteous. The moment I came to Christ, righteousness came. I didn't pay for it. I didn't earn it. But I didn't work for it. I didn't study for it. But it was mine automatically. You've got to understand that. The moment salvation came, health came. Let me say that again. The moment salvation came, your health came. That's the very second that your health came. Your divine health came out of your salvation. And if you're struggling with something, struggle no more. I'll pour out my spirit on the last day, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. I don't care who you are. If you're a son and you're a daughter of Jesus of Nazareth, you can prophesy. And when you prophesy, what does he promise? Says, you will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Your old men, it's time for old men. What do you classify as old? Well, anything between 100 and 200 is old. Let me tell you this. Old men shall dream dreams. Where are the prophetic dreamers? Where are the old men dreaming dreams? Where are the sons and daughters prophesying the word? See, God is looking for a mouthpiece. He doesn't have many mouthpieces. God is looking for a mouthpiece this morning. Maybe you're here, or maybe you are one of them, but you're going to sleep. Well, God's going to wake you up. God is going to wake you up this morning, and I'm going to stand there, and whoever comes out here, I'm going to make a prophetic impartation in Slovakia. These people had never moved, had never ever moved in spiritual gifts. I did a spiritual gift impartation seminar for one whole day. At the end of that day, 300 Slovakians were moving in brand new gifts. They were prophesying, they were moving, they were seeing visions, people were praying, and they were getting healed. I want you to know, God is not restricted. We are the ones that are restricted. We've got to wake up this morning, and the last day I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In the Latin, that word visions is the word video. They will see videos. Stop looking at those rubbishy videos. Have a look at the video that God gives you on the screen of your heart. When you start to look internally, and all of a sudden you'll see some things you've never seen. I want you to know this. Oh, he said, in that last day, I'll pour out my spirit. The pour out is the same as turning water into wine. It's the same as. What's he trying to do? He's trying to make the ordinary extraordinary. God always makes it extraordinary. And if you think you are just, well, another run-of-the-mill, ordinary person sitting in the church, I got sad news for you. God wants to revolutionize you, put a fire in you. So when we come together, boy, when we come together, girl, we ought to be so excited. We ought to be the happiest people in the whole wide world. And we ought to stop saying when we're 50 and 60 and 70 and in our 80s and in our 90s, oh, well, you know, I'm this age and I'm that age. And everybody says, oh, yes, dear, how's your this and how's your arthritis and how's your heart condition? Well, darling, I don't have a heart condition, and I don't have arthritis, and I don't have any problems. I just got Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we need. And you can't sit there and, oh, it says we need to go and have a lovely barbecue, you young men and young women. What will we do with you? Oh, we'll take you to a movie, and we'll take you swimming, and we'll take you here, and we'll take you there. You don't need to do all of that rubbish. You need to get with Jesus. He's the most exciting person in the whole wide world. But he gives a promise in this last day. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. What will they prophesy? Well, they'll prophesy the very oracles of God. They'll prophesy the word of God. They'll prophesy the reality. They'll prophesy into areas where people have questions, but they don't have answers. They'll prophesy answers. You know, when you see and understand, and your old men will dream dreams, where are the old men coming forward and saying, I had a dream last night, a prophetic dream, an apocalyptic prophetic dream, and this is what God showed me. And you can take it if you like it, or you can leave it if you like it. It doesn't matter. And your young men will see visions. They'll see videos. They won't see the videos of the world. They'll see the videos of God. They'll see what's coming. The whole essence is this. Why prophesy? It's like this. Prophecy is of God revealing his purposes in the church. It's dangerous to the enemy. The enemy hates prophets. That's why he hits them all the time. I know. And he directs a hit against lukewarmness. Prophecy hits lukewarmness, apathy, indifference in the church. Oh, well, I can take it or I can leave it. Don't get that attitude, well, I can take it. If God does it, that's okay. If he doesn't do it, that's okay. That's a stupid attitude. I always say, God, if you said it in your word, by your stripes I'm healed, I am healed. If you said in the last day, young men will prophesy, old men will prophesy, middle-aged men will prophesy, and women, that's what I believe. That's what I believe. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Let me tell you this, there's no more time to sit and wait. There's only a time to get up and do. And what God is looking for here this morning are doers of His Word. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how short you've been in the church. I don't care how long you've been saved or how short you've been saved. It doesn't make any difference. God can revolutionize you right now. And that's exactly what He wants to do. And I can tell you this, prophecy puts a sharp edge into our church, into the church, into our relationships, especially the relationship with God Almighty. Prophecy brings the whole essence of the mouthpiece to God, and from God to the church, and from the church to the world. If you close down the mouthpiece, you will walk in ignorance. And the purpose of God will be gone. And the divine revelation of exhortation, stimulation, and challenge will be gone. And your direction will be muddied. We need prophets. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you prophets." The word apostle is mentioned 8 times. And I hear these men talk so much about the apostolic. They have no idea what it means. The word prophet and prophecy is mentioned over 500 times. The word pastor is mentioned 5 times. The word evangelist is mentioned 3 times. There's got to be an emphasis on the whole essence of the prophetic. And God is looking for you. God is looking for you, and He's looking for you. He wants to stir the church this morning. And what happened, the way Jesus turned water to wine is akin and symbolic of that pour out. What did He do it for? What for? He wanted to show the miraculous. He wanted to show what extraordinary could come out of the ordinary. See, it's to do with turning the ordinary water of life into the pure wine of Christ. Here did He say, you can't put new wine. You can't, in Matthew 19, verse 17, He said, neither do men put new wine into an old bottle, else the bottles break and the wine runs out and the bottles, both of them perish. But you put new wine into new bottles. What is He talking about, new bottles? See, the problem is the wine never gets old. It always stays new. And Jesus wants to pour in that wine this morning. The problem is the bottle gets old, gets brittle. It gets to talking in that same vein of the depletion. I don't have, you know, I don't see, I don't hear, I don't understand. And it gets into that whole vein. And here He says, you've got to be renewed. You've got to walk in the renewal of the washing of the word every day. You change by the washing of that word. As that word comes, it comes alive into your body, into your mind, into your soul, into your spirit. Hear this morning, hear what the Spirit of God would say. In John chapter 2, if you got your Bible there, John chapter 2. And He said, the third day, beautiful scripture, there was a marriage at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, they have no wine. There's no wine. You know, what a terrible dilemma to be in a wedding that goes for a week, and there's no wine. And I've heard all this pontificating about, well, that was not intoxicating wine. I got news for you, Jack, it was. And Jesus said, What has that got to do with me, woman? My hour has not yet come. She turned to the workers and said, you do what he says. When he said it, you do it. If he didn't say it, don't do it. Well, the Bible says, there were set 6 water pots, something like 50 or 60 gallons, for the purifying of the Jews. And Jesus said, fill them up. When you were baptized in the Holy Ghost and you spoke in other tongues, you got filled up. You didn't get heart filled, you got fully filled. If you got fully filled, you're still fully filled. It's a matter of how much the filling you use. And it's not a time to go to sleep and say, I'll do it later. Oh, my ministry hasn't yet come. I don't know what God wants me to do. It's not that time any longer. It's time to get up and do. It's a time to get up and go. It's a time to get up and be. And he went on to say, fill them up, and they filled them to the brim. And then he said this, pour it out. What is filled can't stay filled. It's got to pour out. Otherwise, it goes rancid. It goes insipid. It goes useless. I want you to know this. New wine is everyday new wine. When they picked up the manna, it was every day picking up. Every single day they had to get it. If you tried to store it, it was terrible to eat. You couldn't eat it. It went off. There came a time when you picked up that manna and you put it in the cupboard and you went back to it a few hours later, it was gone. If you don't pick up that new wine this morning, somebody will. And maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe God has been speaking to you before. Oh, well, I had something when I was younger, and you know, something has been happening to me, and this happened and that happened. Listen, honey, all sorts of things happen. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. Well, honey, you don't know what I've gone through. But guess what? I'm still here. And I'm not only be here, I'm here for the long run. I've got a lot to see. I have a lot to do. When I was in Europe just recently, and when I went through those Nazi death camps, I could see what man has done to man. And then I look across into Russia, USSR. Stalin killed something like 50 million people. Hitler killed 6.5 million people. But in that Nazi death camp, as I walked through it, unbelievable, I saw the names. I saw all the books with all the names there of 4.5 million people. There's something like 2 million people that have never been named. But they died in those camps. All I know is this. God is looking for us. While we're waiting for him, he's looking for us. He's waiting for us while we're waiting for him. You see, new wine has got to be poured in to a renewed bottle, a refreshed bottle. They'd pick up the old bottles of wine that was gone hard and brittle, and they'd soak it. And then they'd pour butter and oil on it. And make it supple again so it was movable. Because when you put new wine in, there's a fermentation process. God has put a fermentation process in here. And it never stops. God has put something within you and I. I don't care who you are this morning. And if this is the last time I preach, that's all right. See, teaching shows us the mind of God. Prophecy shows us his intention. Teaching causes life of the word. Prophecy causes it to come alive. Teaching gives us knowledge. Prophecy gives us pure revelation. Prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. The Bible gives a book of strategy, but prophecy gives us the tactics. Here's a city. It's called Jericho. I want you to take it. Well, what's the tactic? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. Walk around here 6 days and say nothing. How do you keep 6 million, 1.5 million, maybe 2, maybe 3 million people quiet? That was not a small city. How do you keep them quiet? Don't say a word. Children, never said a word. Old men, young men, middle-aged people, no matter who they were, don't say a word. Don't even utter anything. How do you do that? And then on that seventh day, you walk around there 7 times, and here is the whole essence of the tactic. At that end, I want you to shout the biggest shout you ever shouted, and you'll watch what I can do. It's not what you can do, it's what he can do. Amen. When Josiah was 8 years of age, he was ordained king of Israel. He was an incredible reformer, even when he knew he was ordained. He pulled down the demonic occultic priests and their temples. He established the word in Israel. He got rid of the houses of sin. We opened the door. Governments opened the door. He got rid of the fire-walking worshippers. He got rid of all the idols and the idol worshippers. You got idols in your house, get rid of them, they'll kill you. He destroyed the occultic priests. He established God's practices in the nation and caused the nation to prosper under him. If God can come to an old man and say, your wife is going to have a covenant son, and you're going to call his name Laughter. And he believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. He couldn't have children. His wife couldn't have children. But God had said it, and God, when God says it, it happens. See, faith sees things before they happen prophetically. In 1993, a prophet called Bob Jones, who's dead now, he went to Mike Bickle in the summertime wearing an overcoat. And Mike said, you look mad. Bob told him that he had seen a snowstorm on the day, the first day of spring. A snowstorm on the first day of spring in that year. And that they would all sit around a room in a leaders meeting. And at the same time, in Armenia, a comet would be seen. And it was. When Paul Kane went to John Wimber, he said, the morning I come, there will be a massive earthquake in Anaheim, California. And John Wimber laughed. Here is a prophet who out of 5,000 people pulled my name and my wife's name out of our middle names and prophesied over my son. I had 4 prophets minister to me in the United States of America in 1989. And they prophesied the very same thing. Miles apart. See, new wine has to go in a reformed, restored bottle. New wine is a fermentation process. When he pours in the new wine, I want you to know something burns in there. Jeremiah said, I have a fire in my bones. Where's the fire in the church? You see, one of the elders prayed this morning, even if it's a hard word, God, let us receive it. I'm not bringing a hard word, it's an easy. Oozy goozy. New wine speaks of the hidden secrets of God that are only revealed by the prophets. The restoration of all things, then shall the end come. This is a great sign of the restoration. And he said, now you've been filled, pour it out. And your young men will see visions. They'll walk in prophetic visions and they'll see videos on a constant basis. You young men, don't go to sleep at night without asking God, give me a vision. Give me something. Give me something like I've never had before. God, I want it. When I saw 300 people in Slovakia move in brand new gifts, I said, God, you're doing something in this nation. When I saw that lady healed and God gave her a brand new eardrum in 1 minute. See, let me tell you this. Your old men will dream dreams. What did he say to Jeremiah? Before you were in your mother's womb, sonny, I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophetic voice to the nations. The church is the voice to the nation, not Malcolm Turnbull, as much as we need to pray for him. I'm not being disrespectful. And neither would I. But you're the voice to the nation. So am I. On my men servants and on my maid servants. And if you think it's past, girl, I got news for you. It hasn't. They all shall prophesy. Young, middle-aged, old. The second half of this, and in that day, dramatic events, dramatic catastrophic things will happen. Look what happened in those tsunamis that took place in the earth. Look what happened to those raging fires that razed places of Australia. Look at the wars that are taking place. Some 45 wars are taking place right now. Look at the signs in the heavens. Look at the signs in the heavens. Prophetic signs are there. We can't sleep on them. We can't dismiss them. We can't whitewash them. We can't say, oh, to another time. When Elijah prayed, fire fell. The Red Sea parted. The Jordan parted. Before that happened, when Elijah and Elisha were standing there, and the old man said to the young man, what do you want? He said, I don't want what you've had. I want twice as much. Where are the young men this morning would say, God, I want twice as much. As a matter of fact, I want a bag full. And when I get that, I'm not going to be satisfied with that. I want more. I want more. And here on my maid servants, on my maiden servants, on my ladies, they'll stand up in the church and say, Pastor, I have a word for God, from God. He kept me up last night. I was up from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. There's somebody here that's got such and such. And this morning, if he comes forward, they're going to be healed. The Red Sea parted. When that young man picked up that mantle off that old man called Elijah. That was not the same. It was something new. But first he had to take off his old mantle and tear it up. It was useless. Many times we're trying to do something with an old mantle. It never works. Only what you get from God will work. The wise men, the magi, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there must have been three. Rubbish. There was a heap of them. And they didn't bring a little trinkets of gold. They bought buckets of it. The Queen of Sheba that sat on a donkey, sat on a camel for 45 days to go to Solomon to hear the wisdom. And the book of Proverbs says wisdom is the principal thing. That's what you and I need. If ever we've needed wisdom, we need it now. She sat there for 45 days on a smelly camel. And when she got there, all she could do was give him all the trinkets of Arabia, all the gold and silver and jewels of Arabia. And when she sat and listened to what God could say, not what Solomon could say, she sat on that camel and went back 45 days and said, look what I've got. Look what I heard. Look what I've seen. The wise men followed the star to Bethlehem. They saw it in Arabia, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away. But they knew it was coming. Why? What were they looking for? They were wanting something that they'd never had in their own country. They were wanting, they were hungry and they were thirsty. They were passion. You lose your passion, you've lost everything. Elijah prayed and the rain came. Elijah prayed and the rain stopped. Agabus the prophet prophesied a famine in Antioch, and it came. And then I'll show wonders in the heavens, signs in the earth, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun will be turned dark. Well, it has. Look at the eclipses we've gone through. The moon turned to blood. Look at the blood moons. There are steps. I'm going to make a big step this morning. And if you want me to prophesy, you want me to pray over you, you want me to impart to you this morning, I want you to know God's going to stir you. You know what he says? Sons and daughters will prophesy. The word prophesy means bubble up and stir up and pour out. And it comes abundantly. It doesn't come in little dribs and drabs. Step into the prophetic this morning. How do you get it? You grab it by intercession. You grab it by moving. You grab it by making mistakes. The more things you do, and the less mistakes will come. How do you grab it? Wait on God. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. Oh, really? Yeah. They'll prophesy. Your pastor said to me, Russell, speak on the prophetic. And here's the thing, prophetic intercession. See, the prophetic intercession always takes new ground, always speaks of tomorrow coming right now today. Prophetic intercession. And that's what we do. You spend time with God, you're spending time with your future. Oh, I don't have time anymore. Oh, I got hurt. How many people get hurt in the church and walk away? Oh, you don't know. First Corinthians 14:1, follow after love and spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Expect. I'm expecting this morning. I'm expecting you this morning. God is expecting you this morning. Seek me first and my righteousness, and I'll think about adding something to you. He never says that. He says, I'll add all things to you. Microphone.
The anointing of the Lord is here today. And including myself, if people will receive the word today and come forth, the dross, the fire of God is going to burn the dross out of people's lives instantly. And there's going to be miracles in this place. It might not actually happen now, but when you go home, there'll be a change. The fire of God just wants to move through this place like a wildfire.
Great. Good word. Anyone else got a word? Come on. We've got to get that moving. Who's got another word? Yeah, what do you got? Come on, quick. Get out, Jay.
There's a bowl. No, there's a pot. And it's filling up with water. And he wants to blow it out upon this church right now.
Great. Good one.
I had a dream from God a couple of months back. I was on the back of a ute, and on the back of the ute was a white substance, a nourishing substance. But it was being poured out, and someone had taken a sample of it and said, "We don't need the old anymore because there's something new coming. It's changing, and the old ways of doing things, God is no longer using that. He's doing something new. He's bringing something new in, so we no longer need the old."
Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Okay, one more. I need a man. Come on. What's wrong with you men? Come on, men.
Yeah, over this week we've been praying. We've been soaking this place in prayer. And, I've just seen the ground has just been prepared. And we need to put aside distraction. We need to put aside idols. There's rocky ground. And we need to get rooted in the Word. And I've just seen that, there's a blossom coming. I saw a vision of the ground that just had some flowers, like everlastings, and then they died away, and then the ground was just there, vacant, nothing there. And then what came up next was just abundant flowers. You couldn't see the ground for the amount of flowers that were there.
Good one.
And it was just what is in the past is in the past.
Yeah.
Don't judge the future on what is in the past.
Yeah, come on.
God's abundance is amazing and it's there for us. But we've got to clear the ground. We've got to clear that rocky ground and get rooted in the Word.
Come on. Great. Okay. Sing that song again.